Did you know that more people are more prone to believe a lie than it is the truth? Did you know that more people will open themselves and expose themselves more to gossip than they will taking time out to listen to the word of God? Do you know that more people will spend more time talking and getting into what we call cliquish groups to be able to tear down another person or another organization as opposed to doing what the Bible says? Because the Lord said the house that is divided against itself cannot stand. If there was one number one sin that's going on in the body of Christ, when I tell you what this number one sin is, it's going to blow your mind. So most people think I'm talking about sex. Nope. Most people think I'm talking about stealing. Nope. Most people think I'm talking about, you know, lying. Nope. Most people think I'm talking about the fact that, you know, they don't get along with one another. Well, that's part of it. But the number one sin that's going on in the body of Christ today is being a busybody. You know what another word for busybody is? Gossip. And gossip, what does gossip do? Gossip begins to tell the story about a situation or circumstance about someone else, and it doesn't even have to be true. And people would try to cover it with this thing, says, let's just pray for this individual. And then they will spend the next hour talking about every mistake they think or believe that person has ever made. What we called it, we used to call it, you know, you go to church on Sunday morning and then you go to lunch on Sunday afternoon. And what do? You have for lunch a grilled pastor. What do? You pick apart everything they said, did, didn't do, didn't say. And God never called the body of Christ to be like that. What does it causes separations? It causes division. It causes strife. And one of the number one things that the adversary understands that the body of Christ has yet to figure out is that a house that's divided against itself cannot and will not stand. In fact, Jesus said this to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, when they spent their whole time, even though God had prophesied through the prophet Elijah, as your prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on the scene, that Christ, the Son, the Messiah, was going to come. And when he's going to come, he's going to take away the sins of the world, and he's going to do all these great things. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these religious sects spent so much time, more time trying to catch him in his words, more time trying to catch him and see if he lie, more trying to see if they can catch him saying something that did not line up with their Torah or with their man-made doctrine. They spent more time doing that than doing what the word of God told them to do when he showed up on the scene. They spent so much time wasting time talking back and forth and in a little clicks and in a little groups that they never fulfilled what God had originally intended on them to do when they got here. Are you interested in knowing how to a house that's united together, it will stand, but a house that's divided against itself, it will fall. It's not that it can fall. It will fall. And it may look good on Sunday morning. Everybody's dressed up in their Sunday best and all those good things. But God is not looking on the outside. God is looking at your heart. So you can say all those little, you know, I love you with the love of the Lord and all those little things. But none of that matters if it's not in your heart. Because if you can walk out and the same person you just hug their neck real good, you can walk out of the church and you talk about that person, dog that person out, then was what you said really true? Or did you just tear down your brother or your sister? Man, one of the things that I've heard so many people who are outside the church say, I don't go to nobody's church because those people are fake anyway. Well, you go to work every day and those people you work with are faker than a $2 bill. The church is made up of people who are, they're not, it's not the museum, it's a hospital. It's made up of all kind of broken people. But just because the people are broken in certain areas does not excuse the church to continue to act like mere men are like little bitty babes or like 5-year-old kids. You know, I don't want to play with little Bobby because he dressed funny. His parents, that's so immature. And today the Lord says, a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It says this in Matthew 12:25, a house, because Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew that when they was talking to him, that they weren't really talking to try to learn. They was trying to listen intently to try to find out on the area where he slipped up at so they can accuse him. And Jesus knew in our thoughts. He said this. He says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city, our house, divided against itself will not stand. Paul said this to the church in the church of Corinthians, because there was bickering against, you know, I like Paul and I like Apollos and I like Peter and I like this. And this is what Jesus said, Paul said to the church of Corinthians. He says, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, as carnal, fleshy. He says, as babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able to receive what? Receive what? To receive solid food from the word. Why? Because you are still carnal, fleshly. How do you know if a person is still carnal or fleshy? He says, for where there is envying and strife and divisions among you. He says, this is the way you can tell if somebody is still carnal acting or still operating according to their five physical senses. He says, this is how you can tell that they're still babes, even though they might have been in the body of Christ 10, 15, 20 years. He says, this is the way you could tell they're still babes in Christ and still undeveloped. He says, for where there is envying and strife and divisions among you. He says, are you not carnal? Are you not fleshly? Are you not behaving like mere men, like people who don't even know God? Do you know that when Jesus came on the scene, he did not go to the world first? When Jesus came on the scene, he actually went to his own people first. He went to the Jews first. And this is what the word of God says happened when Jesus went to his own. In 1 John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 10, this is what it says. It says, he was in, talking about Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus, when he came on the scene, when he came into the world, when his ministry began, he came first to the children of Israel. He came first to the Jewish people. He came to them first. And when he came to them, they would not receive him. And how many times has God sent your answer, your solution, the very person, the very individual, the very organization, whatever it may be, to you, and you could not receive it, or you would not receive it? Why? Because it did not look like, it did not sound like, it did not act like what it is you thought God was going to use in order to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring deliverance, to bring you up to a whole new level. God says today, he says, a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. And I'm telling you, there's a storm coming, and it's already begun, the Father says. And he says, and you are about to see houses that look like they are built on solid foundation begin to crumble. And what the reason why it's going to begin to crumble is because it's been crumbling on the inside all along, but you just haven't been able to see it. He says, but what's about to happen is the house, because it's divided against itself, is going to fall. It cannot stand. It cannot stand. And that's why we pray for people, because we pray that just like Jesus did here in John chapter 17, verse 20, he's praying to the Father. And this is the prayer we would pray as well. It says, I do not pray for these alone, Jesus says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He says, that they may be one. You, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one in them, and in I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How did Jesus say the world would know that the Father sent him is not by how many scriptures you can quote, not how many times you go to church, not how many times you have a life group, not how many times you hang out with the same four, your four and no more. Jesus said the way that the world will know that the Father has sent him is when we as the body of Christ are acting as one, when we have love one for another. In fact, Jesus goes on to say this in John chapter 13, and I believe it's in verse 34. He says, he's saying this to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I'm giving unto you. He says, there's a new commandment I give you, that you may love one another as I have loved you. He says that you also may love one another. By this we'll all know. By what? By this one thing, all will know that you are my true followers, my students, those my sons, my daughters, those who say they called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will they know: you are in me and I am in you. Your love one towards another. Do you know there's not going to be a Baptist section in heaven? There's not going to be a Lutheran section in heaven. There's not going to be a Methodist section in heaven. There's not going to be a Pentecostal section in heaven. There's not going to be a Charismatic section in heaven. There's not going to be any of those sections in heaven. Do you know the only qualifier for you to make it to heaven is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him the Lord of your life? Did you know in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the head of the body? Did you know that? That Jesus is the head of the body. He says this. He says that he is. He says in Ephesians 1:22, he says, and God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. To the what? To the church. Jesus is the what? The head of the church. And the church is what? His body. The church, which is made up of people, is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So whatever the head does, the body should follow. Whatever instructions that the head gives, the body should follow. If your head ever told your foot to move and your hand moved instead, you would know there would be a disconnect within your body. And he says it's the exact same thing when you have divisions and schisms and strifes and envy and bittering in the body. You already know that there is something wrong going on inside of the body. And Jesus is saying this, and the Father is saying this today. He says, a house that's divided against itself cannot and will not stand. United we stand, divided we fall. You says, no. You got your group and we got our group, and we the Catholics, and no, y'all the Pentecostals, and no, y'all the Lutherans and all. Did you know in the Bible, it doesn't call anybody a Baptist? John is not a Baptist. John is Baptist means he's a baptizer. And, there's no denominations in the Bible. None. Zero. Zilch. None. Those are all man-made, where people have taken parts of the Bible and they have emphasized on those and they have established denominations. Can I tell you that was one of the smoothest tricks that the adversary did? To do what? He created division. He divided the body. So Baptists fight against Lutherans, and Lutherans fight against Methodists, and Methodists fight against Presbyterians, and the United Church is fighting against the Catholic. And what are you doing? You're divided against yourself. So the adversary already knows you cannot stand, and you will be unessential when it comes to fighting against him, because you're already divided against yourself. It's one of the smoothest tricks he could have ever done. And the body of Christ, every Sunday morning between the hours of 10:30 and 1 o'clock, have fallen for that trick for years and years and years. But God says, not after today. He says, because I'm sounding the alarm that united you stand, and divided you will fall. There's only one body. How do you know there's only one body? Well, the Word of God says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, where he's saying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says this: for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, one body being many, are one body, as also in Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Who's that one Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Who's that one body? The body of Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, is not one, what is that? For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? Where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. Who did? God composed the body. Who did? God composed the body, having given greater honor to though that part which lacks it. He says that there should be no the schisms in the body. Who was the one who, God was the one who composed the body. He was the one who placed every member in the body as he saw fit. And he did it in a way so that there would be no schisms or divisions or envies or strifes in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Does that sound like a house divided against itself? Not at all. It sounds like a house that's united, they stand. Does it sound like a house that murmurs or complains or just talks about one another? No, it is a house and a body that stands. And if one member, now think about this. It goes on to say, if one member suffers, all the members of the body suffer with it. That's one of the great things I love about being in the Marine Corps is the Marine Corps functions. We are all one. We are only as strong as the weakest link. It doesn't matter how strong the man next to you are. If the other person standing beside you lacks in the area, you are only as strong as the weakest link. So in the Marine Corps, what they do is they find when you're going through your testing and your training, if there's one area that lacks, everybody else makes up for the one area that is lack. If we have a motto, we never leave a man or a woman on the field. So if you get hurt, we don't leave you on the field. One of us packs you, puts you on our back, and we carry you. When that person gets tired, we switch people, but we leave no man on the field. And God says here the same thing. He says, if one suffers, then we all suffer. He says with it, he said, if one member is honored, then we all rejoice with it. In other words, the body is not divided against itself. We stand and operate as one. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, is showing how marriage is to, it also represents how the relationship between Christ and the church, where he says this to the husband. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That he might, well, you mean Christ, the husband is to love his wife just as Christ also loved the church, just like the Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do for the church? He gave himself for it. What is the husband to do for his wife? He is to give himself for her, that he might do what? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So what should we be doing when we find weaknesses in the body of Christ? We have a saying that we said when I used to be a youth pastor, and according to Ephesians chapter 4:29, we said, we don't fry, we edify. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, that it may benefit and be edifying to the hearer. So if your words that you're saying out of your mouth, speaking about your brothers and sisters, are not edifying, are building that person up. My mama used to say this back in the day. He says, if you can't say something nice, keep your mouth shut. And it's the same thing we're going to say to you this morning. That when if you're going to operate just like Christ, if you say you are a true follower of Christ, you are a true follower of God, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is your Lord, how are you supposed to operate? One, you're supposed to have love that brother or sister just like Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do for the church? He washed the church with the washing of the water by his word. By the word of God, not by gossiping, not by backstabbing, not by spreading rumors and lies about this person. That divides the body. It does not build the body of Christ. Then he tells us to do this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. He says, imitate your father. Imitate my father. Imitate your heavenly father. How do you do that? As dear children, by walking in love. How do you operate and imitate your heavenly father? By walking in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling sacrifice, aroma. So what are we supposed to be doing as members of the body of Christ? To remain united one with another. So united we stand, but divided we fall. We are to love one another just like God loved us. Love one another just like Christ loved the church and he gave himself for. Love one another. By this will they know that you are his disciples indeed, when you have love one for another. You said, man, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. How do I go about doing that? Well, I'm going to give you some principles on how. In fact, it already has it in the word. You ain't even got to take my word for it. I'm going to show it to you in an example, and this is where we're going to close. Glory be to God. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been washed by the water of the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says this in Luke chapter 6. How do I love my brother or sister, or this organization, or these individuals, even when they have done me wrong? Somebody singing that song right now. Somebody done me wrong. Somebody singing that old song. But I'm going to tell you, when you make a heart decision, I'm going to imitate my Heavenly Father, and I'm going to walk in love towards those individuals, no matter what, no matter if they said what they said was wrong, because I'm not going to give the option. Because every time you get in division and schisms and strife in the body, that's how you end up with cracks in your foundation. And when storms come and the winds blow and beat on your house, guess what's going to happen? Your house going to come tumbling down, because you have cracks in the foundations. But the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, will strengthen you and you build your foundation, that Jesus Christ is the solid foundation by which you build your life. And this is how he says, practical ways to love your neighbors, love your brothers, love those in the body of Christ like Christ loved the church. This is how you do it. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says this. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who despitefully use you. He says, this is the way that you love like Christ loved you. You love your enemies. You do good to those who hate you. You know they hate you, but you do good to them anyway. He says, you bless those who curse you. Those who are talking about you, you be a blessing to them. He says, and then you do, this is one of the key parts. You pray for those who spitefully use you. They doing it on purpose. You know they doing it on purpose. But what do? You are to pray for them. He says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want to men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. In other words, don't do something to somebody else that you would not want them to do to you. But if you love those, this is now he, I like this part because he knows you're going to say, but why should I do those things anyway? Because I mean, you know, what's the big deal? He explains it for you. He says, and this is Jesus talking to those who are his disciples. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much. In other words, you say that you represent me as members of the body. You say that you are my disciples. You say you believe on me. You say that my word is the final authority in your life. You say that whatever I say, you would do, and it's the final, I get the final say. And you say that you are in the body of Christ. And if Christ is the head and we are the body, when the body and the head sends a signal to the body and gives the body instruction, the body only has one response. Yes, sir, I'll do that. And does it without any murmuring, kicking, screaming, or fussing. But I love this. Jesus goes on to say this. He says, but love your enemy. Remember, we started off with that. And he reiterates the point. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And listen to this part. And he says, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What does that sound like? Imitate your Heavenly Father as dear children. And how did Jesus say we do that? When we pray that as the Father and the Son are one, that we will be one with him. And by this will the world know that the Father has sent him, our love one towards another. That's how you disarm the adversary. That's how you eliminate divisions and schisms and stripes. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you will have many opportunities. I had an opportunity to do that this week. People will say all kinds of things about you. And this is one of the greatest things that Jesus taught me many years ago. He says, Milton, let me explain to you this. You are always one message away from everybody either joining you, or you are one message away from everybody leaving you. He says, don't get high on what people say about you. He says, because the same people who said to me one day, Hosanna, Hosanna, he's coming in. Woo-hoo, they lay down the palms and the coats and all that. He says, less than 7 days later, they said, crucify, crucify, crucify. He says, when you make a decision to follow me, when you make a decision to do what I've called you to do, you will go through persecution. Persecution means when other people are coming up against you. He says, but he or she who will endure to the end, the same will be saved. So the same thing that God said to me is the same thing he told me to minister to you. Love others just like Christ loved you and gave himself for you. You say, man, that sounds great, but you're talking about people who are in the body of Christ. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity now to become such a person who's in the body of Christ, or you can make a decision to rededicate your life. You already know you haven't been living this way. You already know you haven't been loving like Christ loved the church. You already know that you've been divided against, the house been divided against itself, and you've been part of the arguing and bickering and slandering people's names and all these other things. He says, I want to give you an opportunity to start over today. And it's easy as praying this prayer from Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, where it says this. It says, the word of God is nigh you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. But if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want you to pray this prayer. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I do believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross, carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be born from anew. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I make a decision to love others just like you have loved me. Thank you for loving me. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you pray that prayer with me, I want to welcome you to the body of Christ. Welcome you into right relationship with God. Welcome you into the kingdom of God. Because all that we talked about today is how do members of the kingdom of God operate when there's opportunities for divisions, for schisms and stripes, because we are one body, we are one church, we walk in unity with one another, and we love just like God has loved us. Now, if this is your very first time, or if you pray this prayer with me, I want you to say to you that your next step, man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. I know that our church is such a church that does those things. So I welcome you to join us here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we share this word and many other words along with it. We have a podcast if you want to follow it at Ignite to Life audio podcast. And we also have a daily devotional podcast called Fresh Steps for You. I invite you to join, subscribe, and join. We have a YouTube channel, Ignite Depot, as well. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwin and my entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here today. And remember this, united we stand, divided we fall. God bless you. Bye-bye.